the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When St. Herman came to Alaska, he chose to come as a simple monk. He believed that this was the best way that he could bring the fullness of the Christian faith to America. It's good to remember that monasticism is a lay movement. Monastics are laymen. They are not ordained. St. Herman didn't come as a priest, a hieromonk. He didn't come as an archimandrite, an abbot, a leader of the other monks. He didn't come as a deacon or a subdeacon or even a reader. All of these things he wanted to not be honors that he brought along with him. He just wanted to bring and to give himself. He came in humility, because it is by humility that we reveal God. Only by humility. There are things that need to be done in the church, and we ordain people to do them. But it is by humility that God is revealed, not by special place or position or the burden of some honor. St. Herman said that we need to divest ourselves of our fleshly desires, all of our desires for the things of the world. Doesn't mean that the things of the world are evil. God will give us the things of the world that we need, but our desire for them, we must divest ourselves. We must remove, we must take off like a garment our desire for the things of the world. And we must put on new desires. Desire for the kingdom of God. Desire for God himself. Desire for his holiness. Desire for his humility. If we don't desire humility, if we desire to be recognized before others instead, then we have to divest ourselves of that desire to be recognized. Divest ourselves. Take off our pride. In other words, pride is not something that belongs to us as a human being. It's something that we choose to accept willfully. Something that we put on and becomes a kind of part of a false front that we use to impress others. Take those desires off, St. Herman says. And he says in another place that this taking off, this divesting of our fleshly desires is something that can be done quickly and completely. It can happen that way. It can be done that way. But for most of us, it is like when a person is ill and they desire to recover. They desire health. And they seek every possible means to regain their health. And so it may take a long while and one effort after another, never giving in, never giving up, in order to be able to divest ourselves of our desires for those things that have the shortcoming of not being divine, simply things of the world, not evil, but not divine, and put on a desire that is new. New desires we put on. We're not meant to be passionless without any desires. We're meant to desire what is good, what is best, what is holy, what is divine. And he says we need to put on a new love, an eternal love. There are loves for the things of the world, and the things of the world are good, but they are not divine. There are ways of loving other human beings that are not divine, that are selfish, that are less than holy, less than pure. We put off those loves, those ways of loving, and we put on a new love. If we love others with a love of God, then we will be able to gain the things that God has for us that will enable us to live as children of God. When St. Herman died, there was seen the uncreated light around his head, playing like a light on his features. And the cell of the room in which he lay was filled with a beautiful fragrance. And far distant from where he lay, across the waters, Native Americans saw a column of light that rose from where he lay up into the heavens. The uncreated light of God himself. The presence of God through this man who had taken off the desires of a fleshly kind and put on the desire for the kingdom. The uncreated light of God. We are still within the Feast of the Transfiguration until this Thursday. We are celebrating the revelation of Christ to his apostles Peter, James, and John on Mount Tabor. In the hymnography, the evening before the feast day, this past Wednesday evening during the Lytia part of the vigil, Christ is called the light that shone before the sun. The light that shone before the sun existed, before creation, there was a shining light. Not a material light, not a created light. The sun itself did not exist. The world didn't exist. And yet there was light, an eternal, divine light. And that light was and is the Son of God. That Son of God is the one who became incarnate. And by taking on our humanity, by becoming one of us, by being born of a woman, just the way any human being is born, God, for our sake, concealed the vast part of his divinity. Only that which could be revealed by our humanity was able to be seen by us. And so he filled our humanity. He filled our humanity with his presence. Everything that is human, he took up, he filled. And he came into the world with that humanity of ours filled with his divinity. And even beyond what can be revealed by our humanity, it was there too, because God didn't just send part of himself into the world. The fullness of God became incarnate in our humanity. It is a great mystery. How can it be? According to the understanding of this world, it is impossible. How can that which is without limit be fully present in a human being, in our humanity? But he did it so that we would have access to the fullness of him through the one who was incarnate. Because being what he created us to be, each one of us, the individual person that we are, We cannot be that person that God created us to be without access to God's divinity, without revealing God through the specific and particular personality, abilities, character, and qualities that we have. Through our limitedness, we can reveal the glory of God. Saint Irenaeus says that the greatest glory of God is revealed in a man who is truly alive. That means truly alive with the divine life of God himself, the source of all of the life that is in the created world. That's what it means for us to be alive and to live. And so there is already by the incarnation a kind of veiling for our sake of the fullness of God as we can see it in Christ. The fullness is there, but for the sake of our being able to see all that we can see, he becomes one of us. He becomes a human being. The hymnography for the vigil of the feast day also says that on the mountain, he temporarily concealed his humanity. By concealing his humanity, all that Peter, James, and John were capable of seeing of his divinity was revealed. That's the change that took place. There has to be something different about Peter, James, and John. They have to be virtuous. What does that mean, virtuous? It means to love what is virtuous. Because we never become completely good, completely pure. But if we love what is good, if we love what is pure, if we love what is holy, and we are constantly moving toward it, then we express, we act out virtue in our lives. Not because it is something in us, a capacity that we have ourselves, but because we love virtue. And so they were virtuous men, and they were humble men. You can't see the uncreated light of God without humility. Even the revelation of God himself to his apostles is an act of humility. God is revealed by humility. Christ's humility in hiding his humanity temporarily to those who loved what is good and true and beautiful more than anything else, those who were sufficiently humble to have eyes to see the uncreated light. God's humility in hiding his humanity temporarily, that is what the transfiguration is. God is always God. Christ is always the incarnate Son of God. As he walked through the world in his humble dealings with all of the people of the world, trying to inspire them to move toward what is best, what is holy, what is divine, to transform their humanity so that their humanity became a way of being humble and revealing the meaning of being a human being. The presence of God in the world, it can only be revealed by humility. That is one of the many truths of the Transfiguration. When we glorify ourselves, we put on a false face in front of others to try to impress them. More people than we realize see straight through it. They know that it's a false face. By glorifying ourselves, we hide ourselves for whatever reason. Reasons can vary. And we also hide any possible presence of the glory of God by self-glorification. By humility, we reveal our true selves and we at the same time reveal the glory of God. That's why Saint Herman says that we must put off the desires for this world that stand between us and our revelation of the glory of God. Living in this kind of transformative humility is the purpose of our lives. We are not wise enough at the beginning to realize that this is the case. But during the course of our lives, we are meant to realize that we have an illness of pride, an illness of the love of things that are less than divine, less than holy. And these things are preventing us from living the lives that are passing us by every day. And so one of the things that we might think when we see the icon of the Transfiguration of Christ is that it is necessary for us to become more like Peter, James, and John, loving the goodness of all that is holy and righteous and pure, and divesting ourselves, taking off our love of things that are less than good and holy and pure and reveal the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.